Les digo con pesar.
I say this to you with regret. Many grave sins were committed against the native peoples of America in the name of God.
De América en nombre de Dios. Como en Medio Oriente y otros lugares del mundo.
Many of our brothers and sisters are persecuted, tortured, and killed for their faith in Jesus. This too needs to be denounced.
During the Pope's recent visit to South America, he demonstrated his characteristic concern for the poor and the oppressed. And although he didn't visit his home, Argentina, on today's Spirit of Things on RN, we do. I'm Rachel Kahn, and when I was in Argentina in April, I headed for two close friends of Pope Francis, a Muslim and a Jew, who traveled with him on a pilgrimage in 2014 to Jerusalem, Jordan, the West Bank, and Rome.
I believe the Pope, he is the spiritual authority of the modern world. He is representing all when he talk about social justice, when he talk about peace, when he talk about slavery, when he talk about many, many, many things, and put a limit to temporal power. In this time, he represents all the believers.
Omar Aboud is president and founder of Argentina's Institute for Interreligious Dialogue in Buenos Aires.
He analyzed all the time. He opened the doors of his mind and of his heart to all the questions.
Rabbi Abraham Skorka, rector of the Latin American Rabbinical Seminary, who published a series of dialogues with Cardinal Bergoglio called On Heaven and Earth. You'll meet both Omar and Abraham today as they reflect on their friendship with Cardinal Bergoglio, now Pope Francis, and his importance for interreligious dialogue. We'll also find out about the unique Muslim and Jewish communities in Argentina. First, to Omar Aboud. Omar Aboud, welcome to the Spirit of Things.
Thank you very much.
When did you first meet Cardinal Bergoglio?
The first time that I see him was in the main church, in the cathedral here in Buenos Aires, in the anniversary of Argentine Revolution in 1910. Every 25th of May, there is a Te Deum, we say Te Deum here in the cathedral. I saw him the first time there. I know about him and hear about him, but I see him the first time there.
You were the director of the Interreligious Center. Did he visit the center?
Yes, of course. Maybe the idea of the center is his idea, really. The Interreligious Dialogue Center, or the Institute for Interreligious Dialogue, came many years ago that I met him. And the first time, I was General Secretary of Islamic Center of Argentina. He visited us in Islamic Center first time in 2003. We began to work together in interreligious dialogue. And after, he said to Father Guillermo Marco, Rabbi Daniel Goldman, and me to have the idea to build an institute to work in interreligious dialogues. Our first act was the signing of a document against terrorism and fundamentalism between the main institution of Jew community in Argentina, Islamic community in Argentina, and of course the Cardinal Bergoglio.
I understand that he had also entered into a dialogue and friendship with the president that is now deceased of the Islamic Center, Sheikh Adel Made.
Yes, Sheikh Adel Made gave to all our generation the possibility to begin to participate in interreligious dialogue in Argentina. Was a really a great man with a vision about the future, about the peace and the destiny of the humankind.
Cardinal Bergoglio even prayed at his wake when he died, that is, at his funeral service.
Yes, I think that there was the first time, and he prayed in front of the body of Adel Made, and was a very special moment for all our community. And also with him, behind him, was the Rabbi Daniel Goldman and the Father Guillermo Marco. For here in Argentina, we build interreligious dialogue. We try to make these things together, also when we die.
Well, before Cardinal Bergoglio undertook these friendships and this interreligious dialogue, what had been the situation of Muslim Argentinians?
really we have no problem about discrimination. But after September 11 and before, here Argentina suffered two bombs in the embassy of Israel and also an after in the AMIA. Media and also the justice began to suspect about Muslim groups who came from Iran. After September 11, and the situation of all the Muslims in the world began to change.
You're saying the situation of all Muslims in the world began to change.
Because I think, this is my vision, postmodernity began now when the world of the reinforced. I think that began after September 11. And also the clash, or maybe the prophecy of the clash of civilization began this day.
Well, then, how do you approach interfaith dialogue here when events or groups outside Argentina cast Islam in a dark light?
We are we, and they are they. We don't consider they Muslims. If you are talking about ISIS or about talking about terrorism, for us, they say they are Muslim, but for us, to be a Muslim, you are at the service of God. To be a terrorist, you put God at yourself. And it's different.
To be a Muslim, you serve God, and to be a terrorist, you make God serve you.
That's right. That's the difference. And fundamentalism is not only in religion. It's also in politics, in economy, and in another thing. But in religions, it's complicated. It's dangerous. Because I think that the difference with the holy text is interpretation, but the very important difference is put by the men. Because exegesis is right by the men.
Exegesis is written by men.
You understand. You understand me very good. We have a word in our religion, in Arab, or in Spanish we say misericordia, rahma, the main word in Islam. It's like merciful.
Rahamim in Hebrew, rahma in Arabic.
In Arabic, rahma in Arabic word, misericordia, and merciful, in English.
Merciful. Well, in 2014, you visited Jerusalem with 45 Argentinians.
Yes.
And that was an extraordinary trip. Tell me, how was it organized? Who went? And how it affected you?
We saw from the Institute, but it was organized by the Institute of Interreligious Dialogue. We saw many years ago that, and we go to many congresses of interreligious dialogue, and maybe we feel that too much people want to hear himself, to talk about rhetorics.
Let me just interpret that. Many people in interreligious dialogue want to hear themselves.
Yeah,
in
they love it. They love it. And in interreligious dialogue, maybe we need a little of silence. How the Pope do? You need a million of words to say the same that he did in front of the Wall of Berlin. And we say, go to the experience, the real experience, the coexistence experience. And we decide to make it travel, visiting Israel, visiting Jordan, and after go to Vatican. Also we visit Palestine, we go to Vatican. We call between Rabbi Daniel Goldman, Father Guillermo Marco, and me, to people of our community to offer, to say that it's like a pilgrimage.
It was like a pilgrimage. So did you go to each other's holy sites?
Yes, because we don't need to pray the same. I don't need to believe what you believe, but I can identify what are you doing. And the truth is a big concept. When I was in Jerusalem, I feel like it was a very, very special city, but there are stones. The mosques are of stone, the wall of Burak, or the Kotel, are stones, and also the holy sepulchre is stones. When the mosque live in your heart, or the court live in your heart, or the church live in your heart, it's different. You have a different vision. It's a vision. The human contact. And the Holy Quran said, all people of the book, when it speaks to Jews and Christians, don't take one of the other like masters and love God only. Okay? I'm Muslim, but I'm not the master of a Jew, of the master of the Christian, and they are not our master. But we have only one world. We have three religions and only one world. And we are all under the same sky.
So we have to learn to live with each other and not just talk, but also enjoy the silences, the practice of faith.
Yes, absolutely. If the faith don't make you free, if the religion don't make you free, I don't like it. I'm Muslim because I'm feel free about this. Religion must be an act of liberation. If you are strong in your prayer, but not strong like a fundamentalism, if you believe this inside, you can sit down with the devil and you get up and you are the same.
So when you completed that trip in the Vatican,
yes,
the Pope Francis,
yes,
invited you,
yes,
to return to Jerusalem with him. What was your reaction?
Have no reaction. I was walking across the St. Peter's Square and was thinking, I am the Muslim. Nobody in the world is prepared for that experience. And I really know that I don't represent the Muslims of this place, because we live different realities. It's more easy here in Argentina to build this kind of interreligious dialogue.
Well, when you did go to Jerusalem once again with the Pope and with Rabbi
Skorka,
Abraham Skorka, yeah, tell me about how it affected you. What were the high points?
One of the points for me, when he met with Prince Ghazi. Prince Ghazi was the Prince of Jordan, and King Abdallah, and in the palace, the exposition of the Pope and the exposition of the King, very, very, very smart exposition about the situation of the world and the need of interreligious dialogue. After, when we go to Belen, when he touched the wall, who's around the city, rounded the city, there is a wall, you know. After, when we go to Yad Vashem, when he approached to a survivor of Shoah, he take his hand and kiss his hand. And when he called us, because really, if you read the book of protocol of this trouble, there is no situation between the three in front of the wall, in front of the courtyard, between him, Abraham, and me. He was his suggestion a few minutes after, and we do it. And what was a very, very special moment. It's very difficult to describe, because what the sensation is, you know, inside you, you have dialogue every time you are speaking to yourself.
You were together embracing in front of the
hotel.
What happened? What did you do?
The Pope was to the wall and put a paper with a prayer, and after he turned around and came walking to us, he called us, and he embraced together. For me, there is an after and one before. It's not the same my life after this day. I live this like a believer. I believe to understand, seeing the vision of Abraham. I finish to understand, because religious is a revelation for every day, and you must discover. Discovering is not only when you read or when you read a scholar. I think that this vision is when you read yourself from inside.
When you read yourself from the inside, summarizing the essence of interreligious dialogue, Omar Aboud, a close friend of Pope Francis. We'll return to Omar later in the hour on The Spirit of Things here on RN and online. Find us on the RN homepage, where you can see pics of my guests today. When I was in Argentina in April, the front page story was the mysterious death of Alberto Nissim, the special investigator into the Amia bombing of 1994, which killed 85 civilians in the Jewish community center and injured hundreds. It was the worst bombing in Argentina's history, but it followed the 1992 bombing of the Israel embassy, which killed 29 and injured 242 civilians. So with that in the air, I went to Belgrano in Buenos Aires, to the Seminario Rabbinico of Latin America, where I met the rector, Rabbi Abraham Skorka. He's a close friend of Cardinal Bergoglio, now Pope Francis, and with him co-authored On Heaven and Earth.
It's a very special moment we are living in. But no, we don't feel we are alone. There are many Argentines alongside us. We maintain very good dialogues and very good relations As Argentinian citizens, there are all kinds of conflicts. The fact that the bombing of the AMIA, the attentat, was not resolved, this is a problem. But we don't feel that we are alone.
Well, dialogue, talking to one another, seems to be the key solution for social and religious conflicts. And that's something that you and Pope Francis share. And I read that Cardinal Jean-Louis Thorin called the Argentine model of inter-religious dialogue unique in the world. Well, as someone who has been at the forefront of it, would you agree?
Yes, of course. It's unique. I can speak about my special dialogue with Bergoglio because we produced a lot, 31 programs for the Argentinian television, for the Archbishop's channel. One of the fruits of our dialogue is a book. Since he was elected as Pope, this book took a special relevance. Yes, in this sense, our dialogue, Pope Francis and me, it's very special, but I tell you why. Because interfaith dialogue could be a subject of intellect, merely intellect subject. Of course, that intellect has a very important role in our dialogue, but the dialogue is based on a very deep feeling of affection, of love from one regarding the other.
Well, how in fact did you meet? What was the occasion of your first meeting and being involved with Cardinal Bergoglio?
I used to be invited by the president of Argentina as a representative, one of the representatives of the Jewish community, for the special Te Deum ceremony, religious ceremony, in our Independence Days, because we have two Independence Days, May the 25th and July the 9th. So then I had occasions to maintain all kind of dialogues, and in one opportunity he pulled my leg about football. He is a fan from one team and I'm a fan from another team. And through this joke, he closed this gap, put me very close to him. And so we began walking and doing together.
Let me ask you about the Mesa Dialogo in 2001, which was formed at a time of economic and social unrest in Argentina. What was its agenda?
The agenda was to find ways to help people who were in a desperate situation, because it was a very, very deep, a very, very serious crisis. I was not directly involved with the Mesa, the Dialogo. But of course, that relation with the Mesa, the Dialogo, I developed my congregation, a special committee for welfare, which is working until nowadays. It was a very, very important ad hoc institution.
And this was an inter-religious effort?
Yes, it was.
Mesa di Dialogo means what, a dialogue platform?
Or? No, a table for dialogue.
Well, values certainly is one of the things which you and Bergoglio spent a long time discussing. But I want to ask you first about your invitation to Cardinal Bergoglio to come to your synagogue on the Jewish New Year, Rosh Hashanah. What was that experience like for your congregation?
It was very impressive. I really invited him twice to give his message to my congregation and through my congregation to the whole community of Buenos Aires, his message for Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. I invited him for Slichot, for the first night of Slichot. Slichot are special prayers that we recite as a preparation for Rosh Hashanah, for the new year and for the Atonement Day, which is Yom Kippur. And the essence of these prayers are to ask forgiveness from God. Slicha is forgive me, forgiveness. I remember how when I took him home in the night, in one of those opportunities, he emphasized several times, you must know, I really accompany you in the prayers. I felt deeply the prayers, and were two very, very significant and spiritual circumstances, events that we shared and that will remain in our memories and heart. It was the first time that an Archbishop of Buenos Aires came and said a special message. It wasn't merely have a nice new year, will God bless you for a new year. No, a message.
Was there any objection by the Catholic or Jewish community to his visit to the synagogue? And I imagine that was B'nai Tikva here in Belgrano.
Look, of course, that from certain circles, all kind of objections from one side to the other side. If you enter in internet in certain sites, you will find very harsh critics against Bergoglio, against me, proclaiming a lot of things that are very far from being truth or a really reality of us. But we went ahead, we continue doing, making our own way. And many of those who criticized me for those invitations are trying nowadays to be received by the Pope Francis.
Well, you and Cardinal Bergoglio met regularly to talk about matters of faith in the spirit of dialogue. And you begin with the big question, God, which you acknowledge is really difficult to speak about in today's world, which has so diminished the concept and belief in God. But you speak about God as being revealed subtly in our lives as a path to choose. And Bergoglio agrees that God exists in the task we are given. Is this the modern answer for the God deniers to look inward for the experience and responsibility of that engagement with God?
It's our answer. Of course, it's an answer based on our own experiences, and it's a different answer from the answers we can find in the Middle Ages philosophy. Our answer is an existential answer, belonging to the existential philosophy, as Buber or the other great thinkers who could be defined as existential thinkers or philosophers.
Well, one very contentious issue today is that society is secular and religion is private and must not impinge on the secular space. Now, that liberal view is something that you both eloquently reject. Is this essentially the core of biblical religion, which you both share, that it's not disconnected from society?
What we shared, of course, is the biblical faith. What both of us deeply believe is we, as religious leaders, as religious persons, must enter into dialogue with people who do not identify themselves with the Bible. What we consider very, very special is the power of dialogue. You must not be in agree with me, but listen to my opinion, and I am ready to listen and to understand you. This is the idea. This book wasn't prepared for believers. This book wasn't prepared only for our congregations. The aim of this book was each person who is looking for what means life. So this is our spiritual answers.
Rabbi Abraham Skorka talking there about his extensive dialogue with the former Cardinal of Buenos Aires, now Pope Francis. Both of them were former scientists. Their thoroughly absorbing book of dialogues is On Heaven and Earth. This is The Spirit of Things on RN and Radio Australia, and I'm in Argentina speaking to a couple of close friends of Pope Francis. Abud is a proud Argentinian Muslim, and he unpacks just what that means to him in this second part of our conversation. His relationship to Pope Francis continues from the time he was a cardinal in Buenos Aires. Omar traveled with him and Abraham Skorka in 2014 to Jerusalem, Jordan, the West Bank, and the Vatican on an interfaith pilgrimage.
How did you become so deeply committed to dialogue? Is it something in your own past, in your own family?
Maybe my grandfather. My grandfather was the person who translated the Quran, first Muslim in translating the Quran from Arabic to Spanish. And this translation was made here in Argentina. In the last edition, the book had four editions, he talked about the family of Abraham in the introduction. And that's the first that I think that I read about. Because we are talking about the way of Abraham. We are not talking about Palestine or Israel or Roma. We are talking in another way, in another concept. And we think that the dialogue must be translated to politics. The vision of the dialogue, when you sit in the tail of the dialogue, it's possible that your soft identity maybe can change. You must be prepared to dialogue. It's not about knowledge. It's about your heart, my heart, your mind, my mind, your trust, my trust.
What tradition of Islam is in your family? What do you practice?
What do you practice? You are asking me what school. I'm not in a difficult position because the half of my family is Shia and the other half is Sunni.
So you already understood the need to dialogue, to understand what across differences.
Really, I think that the division is about the nature of the power. It's a human problem, not a God problem. I follow the madhab of Imam Abu Hanifa because my grandfather, who translated the Quran, was Shia, but I live in the house of my grandmother, who was Sunni. Okay, I have Sunni tradition when I pray, when I fast, when I follow the fiqh, and also I read the theology of Shia. I follow the madhab, the scholar of Imam Abu Hanifa, is Sunni. But I know I don't say the Shia are enemies or the Shia are okay. I dream with one Islam.
What, in fact, is the description of Argentinian Muslims in terms of Sunni Shia? What would be the dominant typical Argentinian?
No, in general, we are Sunni in Islamic Center, and also the community, in another community, they are Shias. We have different mosques, but at the day of the celebration, we try to be together. Many years is possible, another year is not, because we are Muslim from Argentina. My culture is Argentine culture. It's not Iranian culture or Arabic culture.
Would that be typical of Argentinian Muslims to say they are Argentine?
Really, we love this country. Also, there is people in the university, in the community that he is thinking about the countries outside. Okay, my grandfather come from Lebanon and the other come from Syria, but they're born here. I still being Muslim, okay, like religion, but my country is this. When a country go to another country and put a mosque, they come also with his culture. And no, we don't need this. Teach the religion or teach, but our culture is culture of here.
Let's go back to the Pope and your relationship to him, because you were involved in very public demonstration of solidarity when you went to Jerusalem, Jordan, and Rome. But you also had deeper conversations with him. What did you learn about matters of faith from him?
Many, many things. Inside his kitchen, when he lived here, he have a little poster. It's about him. How you can be happy being the second, not being first, being second. He was a pious man. He is a pious man. He prefer understand the others that the other understand to him.
He prefers to understand others more than the others understanding him. Yeah.
That's exactly. He is really a man of God. He has the humility in every of his acts. He's a man that is near of people. He's very, very near of the people. If you go to Rome, you can see on Wednesday the people in the square. And also the Sundays when he gave the angels, and I talk many times with Romans. They love him, and really he's a signal of hope.
He talked about the four principles,
yeah.
which really meant a lot to you.
Yeah, because with these principles, he talk about social tensions. You can analyze any situation. Any political or religious also situation, the whole is superior to the part, the reality is superior to the idea, the time is superior to the space, and the unity is superior to the conflict. Think in this when you see a political situation. Think in these four principles. We have also these principles inside Islam, say of another way. But the eloquence and the explanation of him about these four principles to analyze situations is wonderful.
And you also are quoted as saying that he taught you something or expanded in your mind the dynamic concept of Islamic mercy.
Yeah, because what is mercy? Mercy is only to pray. Mercy is only to fast. Mercy is only to pay zakat. This is for your mercy. With him, you also understand the mercy to the others. And when the mercy to the other is superior of the mercy that you feel for you, you are in the correct way. When you feel mercy for the others.
So, in a way, you are putting yourself second, not first.
Yeah, because religions have not a competition among who is the best, who is the second, who is the third. Religions are religions. And also I say to you, in his kitchen, how to be happy to be second, being second. It's very, very important this. It's just a little sentences, but it's very important.
It's important today when we are always told we must be first, we must think about ourselves, we must succeed.
Absolutely. We are in a new era of idolatry. It's different to the old. The old idolatry was only stoned. They don't speak. In the modern world, the idol speaks.
Yes, the internet, the phone, everything.
Many, many idols in the modern world.
How do you think other Muslims in Argentina regard your friendship with the Pope and your other interfaith partners? Do you experience any friction?
Yes. When we traveled the first time to Jerusalem, they said, "You are going to Israel." And we said, "Yes, we know. We know about geography and about history." No, not many. A group. And after, I think that they understand. Others, no. Others, no. Because the worst of interreligious dialogues is to talk with your own people. It's the more difficult.
That the wars of interreligious dialogue are not between the religions, but talking to your own people.
Your own. Also in between the Christians and also between the Jews, we have the same experience. People that need to put you down, taking strong positions, stupid strong positions, because to say something in high voice, screaming, is easy. To go and sit with the other is not so easy. Father Bergoglio used to say, rhetorics is to politics like cosmetic is to hell.
Rhetorics is to politics what cosmetics are to health.
Yes.
Superficial.
Yes.
Omar, what do you think Muslims in Argentina feel about the fact that Argentina is a Catholic country? Is that a cause of concern? Do Muslims feel that they are oppressed by...
No. We have many. The church here in Argentina was very generous with us and also with the Jews. We have no problem to practice, to have mosque, to practice our religion, to celebrate our parties. In Argentine law, you don't work the day of the Eid al-Adha, Eid al-Fitr. So the two situations you have, and also when the year began, you can go to work or not. No, we have very, very, yes, it's a free country about this, it's an exceptional country about this.
Yes, so it does recognize the holy days of Muslims and Jews and Christians. Omar, in Australia today and also in Europe and around the world, we are seeing young Muslim men becoming radicalized, joining ISIS, etc. I would like to know what you think about it. And
but you came from Australia, you are part of the Commonwealth, you are part of Europe. Why they are this? In Europe, they don't integrate the Islamic community. It's a social problem, it's not a religious problem. You have many social problems about immigration. I don't like Saddam Hussein, but after Desert Storm, the situation is worse.
So tell me, do you think that Argentinian Muslims, Muslim youth, are in any way likely to join ISIS? Have any of them signed up to go to Syria?
No, really no. We are talking about people from here to go. No, I think that's impossible.
Would you say that is because Muslims in Argentina are integrated?
Yeah, we are integrated with our identity. It's not necessary to lose identity to be integrated. You can integrate, be yourself, and be with the others.
Well, tell me, Omar, is there any likelihood that you are going to visit Pope Francis in Rome again?
Yes, but I don't want to talk about this private visit.
Omar Aboud, I wish you well, and I hope you are able to realize your vision.
Sorry, boy, but my English really, my mother language is Spanish, but I also speak French best than English and Arabic.
Well, I am once again speaking to someone just like Rabbi Abraham Skorka. English was his fourth language. I can hear it is also yours, but you speak very well, and we are delighted in Australia to be able to hear you.
Thank you very much. Thanks for the interview. Interreligious dialogue is the indispensable dialogue.
I agree. Thank you so much, and this is an example of it.
Thank you.
Omar Aboud, the president of the Institute of Interreligious Dialogue in Buenos Aires, Argentina, is also in politics, and he ran successfully in the country's first primaries in April of this year. On this Spirit of Things, we're eavesdropping on the Pope through his friends, who've shared their deepest hopes and dreams and their struggles with him. If you've got a special memory of the Pope, send me a tweet at Spirit of Things. Now to Rabbi Abraham Skorka, whose commitment to interfaith dialogue was also shaped by an American-born Argentinian, Marshall Meyer.
Rabbi Skorka, in your own formation, the name Rabbi Marshall Meyer comes to the fore, and in fact, the rabbinical Seminario Rabbinico is actually named after him. I believe he was appointed by the government to be on a commission of disappeared persons, and that refers to the 1970s. And he received the nation's highest honor. What was your relationship with him, and did he model something in you of religious activism?
He was one of my teachers. Marshall, what I received from Marshall is, let us say in one word, the fire. Marshall was one of the elected students of Rabbi Abraham Yeshua Heschel. The sparks of Heschel's fire I received from Marshall.
Abraham Joshua Heschel, a theologian who many people know, and often actually many Catholics know, based in New York.
Yes, he was one of the most important religious thinkers in the second half of the 20th century, professor in the Jewish Theological Seminary, a great activist, as afterwards was Marshall in Argentina. He was United States for Human Rights. He had a great and continues having a great impact. By the way, Pope Paul VI met Heschel and told him, I am studying your books.
Well, that probably kick-started all the interest by Catholic seminarians in Heschel's work. And Marshall Meyer, he was actually an American, wasn't he? But he spent many years here.
Yes, a lot of years here. He was the founder of this rabbinical seminar and of the congregation Betel, and he played a very important role even in Argentinian history, not to say in the whole Jewish Latin American history. He revitalized Jewishness throughout all Latin America, and its message even impacted Jews throughout the world.
Indeed, you are a member, you represent the conservative wing of Judaism. Can you just explain to our audience how that fits in vis-a-vis Orthodox and Reform?
To be a conservative Jew means to see Judaism as a development, a culture in development, a religion in development, a people in development, that this is to be a Jew, to study our past, the sources of our Jewish being, to enter in the depth of all the sources, to maintain a dialogue with all our books and sources and ideas and beliefs, and to rebuild our present, taking into account our past and projecting the essence of our Jewish being into the future.
Well, rebuilding the present in conservative Judaism has entailed the inclusion of women into the rabbinate. So this must have been an interesting point where you and Cardinal Bergoglio did not actually agree. Or how did you traverse that issue?
Bergoglio is aware about all the new positions he analyzed. From one side, he has the history, he has the traditions. For instance, regarding celibate, in the book appears that celibate is not a dogma, but is a tradition. I cannot change myself regarding celibate. I am quoting his own words, but if in the future will come people in the Catholic Church will decide to change, okay, that will be fair. I cannot do that because this is my tradition. He analyzed all the time. He opened the doors of his mind and of his heart to all the questions. Of course, from the other side, he has the dogma and all the structure of the church. But the difference between Bergoglio and the other Catholic leaders or from other religions is that he is very open mind. This is the point. He listens, he analyzes, he understands, and he tries to do the utmost and the best that he can.
Well, Rabbi Skorka, when your old friend, Jorge Bergoglio, became the Pope, what was your reaction?
A great emotion. Just that, a great emotion. I saw him on the screen of my television when he appeared with his white garment. The camera from time to time approached his face, but in general, you saw the total image of the whole balcony, but I saw his face very close as it appeared during the recording of television programs. And how was his looking on me with love and with affection that I saw in between the screen and my mind.
Well, I imagine that he probably telephoned you not too long after that.
Yes, that's true. He telephoned me, and in order to retake the dialogue with me and the relationship with me, the new relationship, and the end of his first call to me was to give me his email address.
He's digitally in touch with the world, with his old friends. Well, you accompanied the Pope to Israel, the Holy Land. What did you feel was the purpose? What was being accomplished in that trip?
Our purpose was to leave a message of peace in Israel, in the Middle East, of understanding, of love. And this was the idea of our embracing, of our hack with our good friend Omar Abboud, our Muslim friend, on front of the Wailing Wall.
You said your hug, your embrace?
Yes, exactly.
Recently, Rabbi David Rosen, who actually has a papal knighthood and who is constantly in touch with the Vatican, he recently wrote of the Catholic Church's slow recognition of Israel from a position of complete rejection, that's referring to Pope Pius X, to one of recognition. Was this slow recognition, this hesitancy, is this something you spoke to Cardinal Bergoglio about and later as Pope Francis?
Yes, of course. My commitment with the State of Israel is very, very known. And Israel was and is a very important theme in our conversations. 2 months or something like that before the pilgrimage of the Pope to Israel, I published in L'Osservatore Romano, the official newspaper of the Vatican, a very big article explaining what Zionism means. And in this pilgrimage occurred something very, very important. The Pope paid a special honor to Herzl. He went to Herzl's tomb and put flowers on Herzl's tomb. With this, he paid a special honor to the founder of the Zionist movement. No another pope did that. And this is a very important sign. It was in the last times, especially from John the 23rd, and especially in the times of John Paul II, and with Francis, there is an increscendo in the recognition and the dialogue between Israel and the Vatican.
Well, going from Israel to what happened prior to the State of Israel, and I'm speaking of the Holocaust, the Shoah, There is in the cathedral in Buenos Aires a tomb of the previous cardinal, Cuaricino, which has a mural to the Holocaust containing letters from that time. Can you tell me a bit about that?
It's correct. Cuaricino was the cardinal who went to Cordoba and maintained a meeting with Bergoglio when Bergoglio was in Cordoba, and he elected Bergoglio to be his assistant and to prepare him to be the Archbishop of Buenos Aires. So in this sense, in this way, they had something very important in common, that Judaism is a very important and significant matter for them. Cuaricino was very close to Jews. His approach to Judaism was so important that he asked that close to his tomb to hang a special document with of things saved from the Shoah. It's very, very important.
I imagine there would have been some resistance to that by members of the church. Did Cardinal Bergoglio have a role?
Yes. At a certain opportunity, some people tried to remove that, and Bergoglio said, no, this must continue being on that place.
Rabbi Skorka, can I ask you finally about your background? Where did your forebears come from?
From Poland. Yeah, from Poland. My father from a Polish town, Kinsk, in Polish is Konsk, in the south of Warsaw, of Lodz. And my mother is from Lodz, or the new Polish pronunciation, Łódź. My grandmother was from Lodz. They came in the 20s to Argentina. The great majority of the families from my mother's side and from my father's side perished in the Shoah. The great majority.
Thank you so much for talking to me for the Spirit of Things.
Rabbi Abraham Skorka of B'nai Tikva Congregation in Belgrano and co-author of On Heaven and Earth, Conversations with Cardinal Bergoglio, now Pope Francis. I went to the Cathedral of Buenos Aires and saw the Holocaust Memorial in the third chapel on the left, containing pages from prayer books found at Auschwitz, Treblinka, the ghettos of Warsaw, Vilna, and Lodz. In the same chapel is Argentina's famous patroness, Our Lady of Luján. This has been two special friends of Pope Francis on the Spirit of Things, right here on RN. ABC's free radio app allows you to listen on your mobile, or just go to our website where you can stream or download the audio for listening anytime. Production today was by Jennifer Fleming, and sound engineering by Simon Branthwaite. I'm Rachel Kahn. Join me again next time for another adventure into the Spirit of Things, where you're bound to meet the unexpected, right here on RN.